undiluted Word of God. It is pure and it is beautiful the way it is. Last week I introduced you to this verse just a little bit. Eis, tuto, gar, ekklesete, hoti, kai, Christos, epathen, heper, himon, himen, hippolim, hippolimpanon, hippogramon, hina, epakaluthesete, tois, ichnesen, altu. All right. I'm sorry I didn't bring any more of these books here this week. I should have one in the motorhome out there in case I forget. Ace is a little preposition. The idea of ace is the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action in Greek. Sometimes it means to, or up to the point of, or because, back, looking back at the cause of something, because of. All right? In Acts 2:38, it says that in the King James that you're baptized for the remission of sins. Actually, they translate this word ace here for the remission of sins. But actually, how it should be translated, you're baptized because of the remission of sins. You're baptized after you're saved. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And what's the first work of righteousness you can do? Baptism. All right. You're baptized because you're saved. And here we have again, ace tuto gar. Because of this. For because of this. All right. For because of this, ye were called. All right. This little Greek verb here is second person plural. Ye were called, second person plural, first aorist. Who remembers what the aorist tense means? How many times can you get saved? Who knows? One time. Don't kill your action, all right? You can be saved one time. Ye were called. First aorist, indicative mode. What does the indicative mode mean? That's a statement of fact. All right, passive voice. You're being acted upon. All right? Ye were called. Because of this, you were called. And then we have another little word, hote, there. Hote. And that word, by the way, back up there, you were called out. Ek and kalio. This is the same word that the word church comes from. The word assembly comes from is this same word. Ek and kalio. All right? Because you were called out, because, hote. And then we have the word kai, a conjunction. But here, it's not a conjunction. It's a particle of affirmation. Different places. Particle of affirmation. What does that mean? Indeed, yes, truly. All right? Because indeed or truly, Christos. Now that, if you speak Spanish, Christos is what? Christ. You know, Spanish came from Latin and Latin came from Greek. All right. Because indeed, Christ, and then this word, epothen, the word pasco comes from this word. He has suffered as a sacrificial lamb. That's what it means. He has suffered as the sacrificial lamb. Third person singular, that's him. All right, first is you, I. Second is you. Third person singular is he, a she, or an it. Okay? He. All right, third person singular. And how many times did Jesus Christ die? Don't kill your action. Guess what tense this is? Second aorist. All right. Second aorist, indicative and active. Indicative is a statement of fact. Active, no, he did it for himself. By the way, he was doing the active. All right? In some places, it's got the idea of middle voice here, even though it's active voice, because he voluntarily suffered as the paschal lamb. By the word paschal is in this root of this Greek word here. The paschal lamb, the Passover lamb, the lamb that is innocent, that pays for the guilty, that's in this word right here. And then we get the word hyper. Hyper. If you have hyperglycemia, what do you have? High blood sugar. That's where the word hyper comes from right here. If you've got a hyperactive child, what do you think that means? A little overactive. Okay? Hyper. This is where our English word came from, right out of this Greek. Okay? A little preposition. You can look that one up on page 414 if you want to. On behalf of whom here? Of ye. And then we have another pronoun here. Of ye, and then we have him on him in. Look at that. Two second person plural pronouns. On behalf of you, for you. That's really making it plain, isn't it? On behalf of you, for you. In English, we can't really get that idea, but in Greek there it is. He suffered because of you, on behalf of you, for you. Okay? And then we have the word hypolimponon. Hypolimponon. It comes from a word hypolimponō, and it's an old Ionic. Our Ionic. Ionia? You ever heard of the area over there in Europe, Ionia? Well, this goes way back far in Greek literature, this word does. Remember I told you Peter was not a dummy, didn't I? You hear about Peter, the dumb fisherman. When you study his writings, he's not dumb. Because he's using some pretty high-class words. And here's one of them right here. And he uses, and by the way, this is the only place that this word is found in the New Testament. Pretty rare. Alright? In this form right here, this is the only place. He's the only one that used this verb. And this is an old classical in the dialect time in ancient Greek. It's an Ionian word. And he must have been reading about some literature from that area at one time to be able to use this word. It says, leaving behind. Leaving behind. What do you do when you leave something behind? The idea here is inheritance. Leaving behind an inheritance. Alright, leaving behind a legacy. That's what this word, the idea of this word is. And then it says, the next word is hypogrammon. And it comes from two Greek words, hypo. And now we talk about hyper. Alright, now we got hypo. Now what's hypoglossemia? Hypo. Hyperglycemia is what? Too much. Hypo is low. Alright. Low. Okay. Hypo and then the word grappo. Hypo and grappo. Have you ever heard of the English Greek word graphics? That's what it is. What is graphics?
Writing.
It's writing. Okay. We have underwriting here. We have an underwriter. Our insurance, our underwriting. Now this is another old word that goes way back that Peter uses here, and it was a very common word. And by the way, it's only used here in the New Testament. Here we have it again. It's our underwriting. But the idea of the original word was it's a schoolmaster. The master would have a slate, and he would write the ABCs, the alphabet above it, and in this case, alpha through omega, and then the numerals 1 through 10, hina through deca. All right? You all see that. Alpha through omega and hina through deca, 1 through 10. And then the student would sit down and copy the master's writings below. They used to do this in the old schools here in America when they still had slates. When I was going to school, they had blackboards up above, and every student had to go up there and write, and they also gave you little slates, and you looked up there, and you wrote your ABCs. You learned how to do it. So guess what we have in the ABCs of our Christian life? What does the word Christian mean?
Christ-like.
Christ-like or little Christ. God expects us to be like Him when we're born again. He's bought us with a price. That's what it said here earlier. He bought us with a price more precious than gold and silver. By the very blood of Jesus Christ. By the very blood of Jehovah God of the Old Testament. And then it says here, He left behind as a legacy an underwriting. The ABCs. You study the four Gospels. The four Gospels tell us what? About the life of Jesus Christ. Every one of them, by the way, every one of them corresponds to many other things in the Bible. How many of the beasts did Daniel see and Ezekiel saw? Four beasts. If you study in the Old Testament, there were four locations for the 12 tribes. And above every one of those 12 tribes was the same sign that you saw in the four beasts. And we have four Gospels. And the four Gospels portray Christ in four different ways. Okay? How about there was a sign of the eagle. Remember you saw the Ezekiel's, and by the way, John's vision in the book of Revelation? The four beasts. What would be the eagle? Huh? The Gospel of John, the deity of Jesus Christ. How about the face of the man? Luke, the Son of Man, that's really related to you when God became flesh and lived as one of you to redeem you. Alright? We see these things. Matthew. The lion. Alright. The lion of the tribe of Judah. By the way, the king of Israel. We saw all these things. And we see the Word of God showing us every aspect from every angle of God and what He expects of us. Hina. In order to that, that's a little old conjunction. Hina, in order that, and look at this word here, epi. We have epi in this word. And we have akulutheo. Epakalutheisete. Second person plural. Ye, that's ye, isn't it? Are you all, and oki. First aorist, subjunctive, active. Now look at this. Let's look at this mode here for just a minute. First aorist is what? Punctiliar action. Every day you have to make choices in your life. And in the subjunctive mode is what in Greek? The mode of doubtful affirmation. You may, or it may, or may not happen. We see that so much in Greek. You know, the King James Version, the New American Standard, the New World Translation, all the translations, just to see, even the Amplified Bible, all of those, none of those are inspired of God. Did you know that? They're not inspired. But what we're reading tonight is inspired. It is so inspired that every preposition, every verb, every noun, and every mode, and every case is inspired of God. That's what you call a plenary verbal inspiration of the Word of God. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. There aren't any mistakes in it. Every time they made a translation, there were mistakes. But this is perfect right here. Paul said it's the perfect Word of God, whereby the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto the end. That's what it means, thoroughly, completely. That he may be perfect. The word perfect means fit for the end product. That ye might follow. That ye may follow upon. Look at that. That ye may follow upon the steps of him. By the way, this is a real unused. Here is another rare word that Peter uses. It comes from the Greek word hiko. Our English word means to take a hike. To hike. To hike around. What do you do when you go for a hike? You trek and you go along. I remember watching the movie Crocodile Dundee. He was going to go on a walkabout. A hike. This is the word. To hike. Now the Lord, God of heaven, took a hike among us. Alright? He walked around. He went on a walkabout for about 33 and a half years approximately. And he left his footprints in this world. And there they are. He told us how to write on the slate. And now it says that we might follow upon his very same footsteps. Going back to the movies, you know, a lot of people watch movies. How many of you saw the movie of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? Remember when he went through this here thing? He was going looking for the Holy Grail, you know, the cup of the Lord. And he went up and through this cave and almost got his head chopped off and everything else and walked on these things. And they came out there and he looked down there and there's this great deep canyon. Well, it said in this book, just walk. Put your foot out there. There's nothing for him to put his foot on. He's going to fall down there. But when he went like that, that bridge appeared. And he held him up. By faith. That's what the idea was. Brethren, the Lord's already walked here. There is nothing that's going to meet in your you're going to meet in your life that the Lord hasn't walked through it. Did you know that? He's already been there. All you got to do is find his footsteps and walk on them. And look for the slate that he wrote. How to do it. We can copy. We can look at his very footsteps and follow right upon them. It is beautiful. Do you see what you see from the Word of God when you look into the inspired Word? And God is not going to make you do it either. You know that? It's subjunctive mode. It's there, brother. It's there always. God never makes you do it. You might want to wish you had, but he will never make you. He'll never make you be saved, and he'll never make you serve him. But I'm going to tell you what, if a man walks out of this life lost, God's Holy Spirit convicts every man of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Every criminal, every no good, has been convicted. Some come, some don't. Subjunctive mode. Volition. When you're saved, some follow God. The only way you'll ever know you're saved is if you follow God. You're not going to have any insurance otherwise of salvation, are you? How are you going to have it? Lying to yourself? When you're bed at nighttime, when you're laying there, when nobody's there but just you and God? And you've done your thing all day long and all yesterday and all the way before and you know what, God? He left his footsteps. He left his footprints behind. He left the writing. We got the Word of God. We got the inspired Word of God. You can learn. No assurance unless you follow him. 2 and verse 22. Hos. Himartion. Uk. Epoiason. Ude. Eurythe. Dolos. En. Tol. Somati. How to. There's a little old short verse, but there's a lot in it. Again, host, a little old relative pronoun, who. Who? Who is this who here, by the way? This relative pronoun that we got here, non-singular masculine, by the way. Novelty of case of subject, singular and person. And what was Jesus? Masculine. I mean, if people don't know who God is, don't know whether he's male or female, the Bible tells you right here. You don't have to ask questions about it, you know it. Alright? Who sin? Hamartion. It comes from the word hamartia. And what does that word mean? It means not target. That's literally what it means, not the target. You didn't hit the target. That's what it means. I was talking one time to Greek people really get amazed when they hear me teach the word God from Greek. Was your friend amazed down here? He brought a Greek guy up here and came to the class, and I think he was pretty amazed at the Greek because they learn about their own language. I asked my friend Protios Kyriakos, I said, Koni. I said, what does the word hamartia mean to you? Oh, sin. Well, what does it mean? Do you know what it means? It means sin, he said. No, I said, what is the etymology of that word? What is the history of this word? I don't know. like that. I said, well, it means not to hit the target. You can't get to the target. It means that that target was right there and you had a bow and arrow or a gun, you couldn't hit that target no matter for the life of you. You couldn't do it. If it was a mile away or 10 miles away, you still couldn't hit it. It may be 1,000 or 100 or 1,000,000 miles away. You still can't reach that target because that target is perfection and we are not perfect. And I told him that. He says, wow. I never thought about that. Never thought about that. Not sin. He hit the mark every time. Because he is the mark, isn't he? Jesus Christ is perfection. And then we have a little adverb of negation, ook. Right there. Ook. Not. If you really want to get it down and translate it correctly, it would be not Lee. What's an adverb? That's a something of action. It modifies or denotes action. And this is not only not, but it's not, not, not. Not Lee. Who, not, 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 sin. And then here we have the word that means to rhyme. We get a word poem from this word. Right here. And our word poem means to make words rhyme. It has an idea of labor in it and dedication. All right? And who not sin, he dedicated himself to. Not sin, he practiced. All right? The word work is involved in this word. He didn't work. Sin. He did not make it a habit of sin. He didn't sin, period. It's in the aorist tense, not once did he sin. Jesus told those Pharisees and scribes and the followers of all the schools of the rabbis, he said, which one of you convicts me of sin? And he had already told them that they were sinners. Oh, we kept the law. He said, not enough. What about this? What about that? You may have kept the letter of the law, but not the idea of the law. And it says, who not sin, he practiced. Who they, here we have ook again, and they, we conversed in conjunctive, ook and they. This little old word here is made up of these two Greek words, ook and they. An adverb and a we conversed in conjunction particle. Ook and they. Nor, neither. And then we have the word heurisko. 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 How many of you know the name of the town that means I found it? Eureka. This is where the word Eureka came from right here. All right, come heurisko. Okay? That's where Eureka came from. I found it. Nor it was found. Right? Third person singular, first aorist, indicative, passive from heurisko. Alright? Doulos. How many of you ever gone fishing? How many of you ever use a lure to try to catch a bass or a crappie or something with? That's what this word is. That's exactly what this word dolos means. It means a lure, a false food. It means to bait. It means to snare by deceit. And that's what this word means. To snare by deceit. It means to tell a lie. You're throwing this bait out here to the fish, and he thinks it's something natural to eat. A fly fishing, whatever, it's a lure. It's a bait. It's deceit. All right, it says, nor was deceit found in the stomachi, how to? In the mouth of him. Well, we get our word stomach from this word, through the mouth. Down through the mouth, you go into the stomach. That's what the idea here is. So you can remember this word mouth, it's the, that's the door to the stomach. Okay, the stomati. The stoma. 2:23. Are you learning a little Greek?
Yeah.
Do you see how when you get exposed to this? Brother, you were here last time for the first time last week. It scared you to death, didn't it?
I'm still scared.
You're scared. You're still scared, but are you learning?
A little bit.
Yeah. You get exposed to it. You will learn. But Jim's been coming here for a long time, and this brother Jim, you've been coming to my class 6 or 7 years now, or 8. I don't know how many years. I bet you can read the New Testament in Greek now. Exposure. Pure exposure. Brother James, you've been to the class body. Are you making progress now? You can pick up the Greek New Testament. You can look up something in the lexicon. By exposure. Sheer exposure to the language. Okay? Now, over here, now we got another word, another verse here, starting with the same little old relative pronoun, nominally singular masculine, hos. Loi doru menos. Uk. Ante loi dore. Pascon. Uk. Epele. Para didu. Day, to, trinonti, the kaios. And there's a lot more in this one, verse here, too. By the way, there's Isaiah 53 is heavily quoted in here, by the way. Isaiah 53 and verse 9 in the last verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, Zephaniah 3:13. By the way, he takes two Old Testament scriptures, Isaiah 53 and verse 9 and Zephaniah 3:13 and verse 22 and puts them together. Peter sometimes changes the voice of the person of the verb from the Hebrew into the Greek because he's making an application there. It might have said you back there, but he'll say you all over here or he. Okay? He's using it. All right, now who constantly being railed upon. What do you do when you rail upon somebody? Huh? Have you ever had anybody rail on you?
Yes.
And this chewing you up, just eating on you all the time.
Yes.
Constantly. I mean, never shut up. And you say, please shut up. No. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, please be quiet. Blah, 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 blah. Never ending. That's exactly what this word means. Who, being railed upon constantly. Did Jesus ever go someplace that somebody didn't try to pick him apart? Even his own disciples sometimes weren't quite satisfied. One time, one of his mother came up and said, well, which one of my sons are you going to put on your right hand? He's getting ready to go to the cross. You know, I mean, would he like to be on the right-hand cross? And on the left-hand cross? And then Jesus said to him, are you able to bear my cross? Oh, yes, sir. Sure. They were looking for the kingdom. They were going to be big shots in the kingdom. They didn't quite understand that death business. Are you able to bear this cross? Yes, sir. Or bear my cross. You know, that was an old axiom, or old byword back then, bearing Christ's cross. That's what you had to take that cross to your death. You bore your own cross all the way up to the place where they were going to crucify you. I tell you, in some of the old cowboy movies, they had the guys out there digging their own graves. I'd have been digging all the way to China. That's the idea of it. You able to bear this cross? Oh, sure. Or who, being constantly railed upon, not. See that little adverb of dates? And how could you translate that now? Not.
Notly.
Okay. Not. And then we have a third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. How much patience do you think that Jesus showed? How often? Imperfect tense. Continually. All right? If you'd have been God on the earth, as Jesus was, and you had some of these bearded rascals come up to you, slandering you and picking you apart, if you'd been to God in heaven, Brother Don, what would have happened to them? Well, this would have been. I mean, you would have been seeing these people turn skeletons and dust.
That's right.
That's no more problem with you, Buster. How much control did he practice? When they pulled his whiskers out and pulled his hair out and slapped his face and spit in his face. The God of heaven. Tried him. Lied about him. He said he didn't open his mouth. And it said not. He kept on returning the same for the same. He didn't answer back one time. Repeated acts. And then look at this word poston. That's nominative, singular, masculine, present, participle, active. Here's one of those fluid nouns, or a verb noun. It's a verb, the marriage of a verb and a noun both. It tells you number, gender, and case, but it also has an action to it. Present, participle, and active. Suffering. And it's poskon, and what is the word for the Passover lamb? The Paschal lamb. Do you see where it came from? Suffering as the Paschal Lamb, Brother Gilbert.
Pathology also?
No, pathology comes from pathos, which means, it's got the idea of the dead and being sorry. You know, you're sorry for dead people. You know, you feel sorry for the dead and whatever. That's where it comes from. Paschal. Suffering. Constantly suffering. And then it says, not, he kept on threatening. Apaleo. Not, he, and this word apaleo, it means to use threatening language. And by the way, this is the only place it's used in the New Testament besides Acts 4 and verse 17. Again, Peter's not so dumb after all, is he? And you hear about Peter, talking about Peter the dumb fisherman. He used some very perfect, beautiful language. Of course, it was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But somewhere he got exposed to these words, didn't he? Had a preacher one time tell me, he had his doctorate. And you know what he told me? He said, you know what? The smartest man I ever knew was an old boy that used to walk behind a mule thinking all day long. Because he had plenty of time to think. When you're plowing and working, out in the fields, you just walk down one way and you walk back the other way. You got plenty of time to think. You got plenty of time to memorize scripture. You got plenty of time to think about all the things of the world. Because it sure doesn't take any thinking to keep plowing those roads. He said, that old farmer was one of the smartest people I ever knew. Had plenty of time to think. Out following a mule. Not, he kept on using harsh, threatening, vicious language. And again, in the imperfect tense. How often did he have to control his anger? One time in the New Testament we see Jesus turn loose. They were very important. One time we see Jesus. Yeah, how many of you know? How many of you know what a bank is? B-A-N-K. You know what a bank is? What is it, a bank, young man?
It's a place where people store their money.
That's right.
Place so that the money is safe.
The money is safe, and the money does what?
It just sits there.
It sits there and makes interest. Today, it doesn't make much interest. You're right. You're pretty right, young man.
I have $201.
All right. That's great. Well, the history of that word goes back to the pagan temples. A lot of times, used in early part of the world, banks were on high vaulted ceilings, and they usually had some kind of an animal out in front of them and everything. And the first banks that we have any idea of in history were pagan temples. And the people that ran these banks, they were actually banks where you could take your money and you could put your money in there, and you took it to a priest. And the priest was the banker. And he had a bench sitting there, and he put the money on, and he showed you the investments that he was going to put your money into. Now, if the guy turned out to be a rat and not trustworthy, they took and turned over his table and broke it and then publicly whipped him. Lashed him publicly. Sometimes they crucified him.
Bankrupt.
The word bankrupt means a broken bench. Or the broken bank. Now, when Jesus came into national Israel here, the center place, the capital of national Israel, he walked right in there to their head of the religious department, right where they were making merchandise of the very sacred things of God. And they had their benches set up out there, their little banks. And they were charging people interest just to change their money into temple money so they could buy a sacrifice so they could have their sins forgiven. They were merchandising religion. And he went in there and he smiled. He said, "Oh, you guys are doing such a good job." What did he do? He didn't smile, did he? He was angry. Because they had taken his house and turned it into a house of a den of thieves, he says. You people are a bunch of thieves. You're bankrupt. Your whole system is bankrupt. And he turned it over and paid a public display of it. And guess what he did to the wrestlers? He beat them with a lash. You know what? They knew exactly what he was doing. He took a public humiliation that they knew all about. And he practiced it right there. He turned over their table and said, "You people, your religion is bankrupt." And he beat them publicly and he denounced them publicly. Now, does that scripture make a lot of sense to you? Was Jesus unrighteously mad? What he was telling Israel, that you are finished. You are finished. I'm handing the reins over to somebody else. God, he kept on threatening them. And then here's another word, para, and it comes from para and didity. Pare dido. Didu. Pare dido. It's third person singular, imperfect, indicative acting from para and didu. He kept on committing. He kept on depositing. And you can put down the word hialto in there, by the way, in some of the old manuscripts that's in there. He kept on committing or handing over himself to God the Father. While Jesus was on this earth, and Jesus was God and man, would you know that? He had to be man so he could be related to the universe. He had to be related to the universe to buy it and pay for its debt of sin. He kept on keeping one thing in mind. He was the God of heaven. He was the God of glory. He was the God that spoke the world into existence. But he's also the Savior. And while he was on this earth, he was the Savior. He kept on committing himself to God. Who did he commit it to? To the one judging righteously or justly. Look at that. He kept committing, he kept handing himself over to the one judging righteously. In this world, we don't find justice at all many times, do we? I'm going to tell you something that Solomon said thousands of years ago. Life isn't fair. Don't expect fairness in this world. Don't expect for everything to go right. Don't expect that because it's not going to happen. Just forget it. But there is one place, not in this life, but in the life to come, there will be true justice. You know that? True justice. Number 24. Tos. Tos. Harmarchios. Timon. Altos. Ananekin. Im. To. Samati. Altu. Epi. To. Zulon. Hina. Tais. Himarchias. Apo. Gano. Lenoi. Te. Dikaiosune. Seisomenan. U. To. Moloki. Iatete. Now, there's some pretty hard words to say in here. We have another relative pronoun where this part of this, another part of the sentence takes off. Who? The sins. And now we know what the sins are, don't we? We don't meet the mark. We don't make the mark at all. The sins of us. The sins belonging to us. That's genitive plural. And it's us. All right? The sins belonging to us. Himself. This is a reflexive, pronominal, intensive, reflexive, pronominal adjective here. Who? The sins of us. He himself. All right? And then we have a word here that comes from Anna and Pharaoh. Anna and Pharaoh. The sins he himself, he stood up under. Not only did he stand up under them, but he kept on burying them. By the way, he's burying them today. You know, when we sin, we ought to be sorry. If you're a child of God, you go out and sin in this world and go your way, subjunctive mode, remember. It ought to make you real sad because Jesus is suffering for those sins. Every time we do that, you ought to think about the cross for just a minute. The things we practice daily, we couldn't get to heaven on because we missed the mark, people. Somebody had to pay for that price. And that person... Kai hologo sarx agenito, is what it says. Kai hologo sarx agenito. And the word. And that word there does not mean the idea of logos. It is the Jehovah. It says, and the Jehovah flesh. Singular aorist, indicative middle voice, by the way. The Jehovah flesh, he became for himself. Why did he do it? Because in his body, in the body of the God-man, he could bear our sins. That's why. Epito zulon. Epi, that's, you can look that one on page 153 and 154. It takes up a lot of space in that analytical Greek lexicon. Upon epi, epidermis, that's what? on the skin. All right, the outer layers of the skin. Epi, see? There, you get that in right in the English language. Upon the tree. Upon the wooden cross is what it's talking about. He bore our sins upon that rotten cross that he had to die upon for us. The death of a criminal. Hina teis himartias. In order that the sins, and this is it's hard to understand in English. He died, he expired. Having expired for our sins. And he did it being righteous. He died for our sins, and yet he was dikaiosune, righteous. He was righteousness. Righteousness dying upon the cross. Righteousness, pure righteousness, was handed over to the death of a criminal. And then it says that we, first person plural, first aorist, guess what mode it's in, Brother Don? Subjunctive mode. Say so, manan. All right? That we might live. He died that we might live. Subjunctive mode. Yeah? Volition is there. That we might live, of whom in the Molopi. This is a rare word. Aristotle used this word in Plutarch. And it's only here in the New Testament, by the way. Look at this. Now, how dumb is Peter? Using these rare, high words, high society words, in old Greek, classical Greek, and Ionic, and Attic. By the way, Ionic means from those people from Ionia, and Attic, guess where that's from? Athens. All right. Attic, whenever you see it's an Attic word, it means a word that originated and was used in Athens. That's the big high society, okay? Aristotle used this word. It means a bloody wound. A bloody wound. In the bloody wounds, or by his bloody wounds, ye were cured. Cured from what? Death. Cured from death. The death sentence is taken away because of what he did. Sin is a absolute curable terminal illness. Did you know that? Death and sin is an absolute curable illness. It's terminal. That means it's ready to end. It's going to kill us, but it's curable. We all have to die. But you don't have to die the second death. I may die once, but I'll never die twice. Because of Jesus Christ. He already has tested and walked the ground. All we have to do is apply his blood to our lives, and we are saved. Now, Peter is writing here to some people. Now, we talked about this in a few verses before this. But some of the Christians that are saved here, some of them are slaves. And some of them are beat bloody by bad masters. They know what this word means. Beat to a bloody pulp. Beat to a bloody pulp. But he said, don't worry about what's happening in your life here, because he was pierced and beaten to a bloody pulp for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And it says, the chastening of our well-being, our peace, fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. That's Isaiah 53 and verse 5. All right? Isaiah 53 and verse 5. 2 and verse 25. That's where we're going to start next week. By the way, here alone is Christ called the overseer of our souls. And this verse alone right here. Thank you so much for your attention tonight, for your endurance of those hard seats. God bless each and every one of you with His Word. It's good to have you in our class. Hope you come back again. You're going to learn great. You're going to learn. Brother Jim, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Dear Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us and this time to gather in this classroom to hear your word. Lord, it has been set down perfect and inspired in its original language, and we are so thankful to have Jim Phillips to help us in learning how to interpret your precious word. God, we just pray your blessings on him, on his family, on his health, guide his doctors, and Lord, just bring him back to us, continuance of this class may be a blessing to this church, this body of believers. God, we just thank you now for your word, for this class. We ask this in Jesus' name.
I hope that this fires you up so much in God's Word that you've got to go out and teach a class. You got to witness to somebody and tell him what you learned. That's my prayer for him. Brother Don just left here. Left us. He had to go out and leave. He's going to be my substitute teacher. But he told me the other day, he said, Brother Jim, he said, because of your class, I can teach. What used to be shallow, I can teach with the bottomless well of understanding. It's the Word of God. The Word of God, you learn it, and you won't run out of soap. No way in this world.
Right.
You listen, go to that website and listen to the Hebrew teacher for about 40 years at Little Rock, Arkansas Seminary. Can't even think of his name now. Anyway, he's on last week's Sermon of the Week on there, if you look it up. The last week's Sermon of the Week, if you listen to him, and Dr. Fred Stevenson, that's his name, and he tried to get people to learn Hebrew for a long time. Well, I tried to get people to learn Greek and Hebrew, because that's the inspired Word of God, and it is wonderful, and it'll be good for your soul. It's good. You're dismissed.
All right.